Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. Coming live from the 2018 SMRP conference, it is my pleasure to welcome Alan Ross to the podcast.
It's good to be here, James.
Well, Alan, you're with SD Myers.
Correct.
So what is your role at SD Myers and what does SD Myers do?
So I got to tell it to you based on a hockey analogy. I grew up in Canada, so I played hockey. And they asked one time Wayne Gretzky why he was the most prolific goal scorer in history of hockey. And he said, because everybody else is skating to where the puck is and I skate to where it's going to be. So 8 years ago, my best friend, who's the president of SD Myers, Dale Bissonette, and a very visionary, forward-thinking fellow, said, drive us to the future. So I got to name my title. I didn't get to name my salary. Okay, I got to name my title. And I said, I want to be the vice president of reliability, and I want to be part of the movement in reliability. And I had the reason for that, I had a friend who was part of SMRP, told me about SMRP. I looked into it a little bit and said, wow, this organization is going to change the world. So I got the title of VP of Reliability. My job at Myers is to move us from a transformer testing company into a transformer reliability company. So that entails a lot of things. It entails change internally. And then I have become the spokesperson for electrical system reliability, which is the last area of reliability. CMMSs don't talk about it. It's like this huge, vast desert.
Yes.
And I'm allowed to go out and create an oasis. So that's what I do. I have fun doing it.
Excellent. It's interesting you mention that because I'm working with an organization right now that has nothing in place for electrical maintenance,
yeah.
Electrical reliability, not even I've thought in their head about
yeah.
it. Now they're realizing they have issues in very old facilities, old infrastructure, and now they're starting to think about it, but it's the first organization that I've talked to that is actually starting to think about it.
Yeah, you know why it is too? It's mean time between failure. The mean time between failure of a transformer is 38 years old, of a cable is 50 years, of a breaker is probably 25 years. So the mean time between failure is so long, and there's a limited number of assets. There's millions of motors. There's not millions of transformers. And they are so unique. Every one of them is pretty much, other than these little pad mounts, every one of them is customized. Customized bus work, customized in and out. I mean, it's not like there's a standard, so people just avoid it.
Yes.
They were all electrical systems, including cable, including breakers, they were just overbuilt years ago, and we've become dependent upon them.
Yes.
So why worry about it? But guess what? Now they're failing.
Yes. And they've hit that end of that lifespan.
End of life, yeah.
Excellent. So here at SMRP, you did a presentation on, is it time for a CRO?
Right.
What is a CRO?
Chief Reliability Officer. I have a dear friend who is a CPO, a chief people officer. So chief means you've moved above the VP level. You're now reporting through the CEO, but reporting to a board. You have a significantly greater responsibility. Well, if you think about it, SMRP, the M is before the R. And it was really maintenance as a cost center. So nobody's ever going to do a chief maintenance officer, right? Cost center. What is it? Cut cost. Cut cost. Make more money. Cut cost. But reliability now is a huge umbrella of which maintenance is a subset. Reliability is significantly more. Asset management is reliability. There's a lot of things that are reliability. So when you think about risk, when you think about asset management, when you think about maintenance, who should be over all of that? The chief reliability officer, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where it comes from. I have not heard of one yet, but there's actually an article coming out in Solutions, and I'm saying, why not? Now, it won't be me, because I don't want to be somebody's CRO. I want to push and have them, because they need to sit at the table. This is an important role, the reliability function with any, especially the high asset production companies, right?
Yep.
And that's the world. It's a global issue, and I think it's going to happen in my lifetime.
So organizations don't have a CRO now, or at least that I'm aware of and you're aware of.
Right.
Why would organizations want to add that additional officer to the team? What value would they expect to get from that?
Do you remember when ISO 9000 came out?
Yep.
Everybody had to be an ISO 9000. It was the biggest push of my career. It was like ISO 9000. I've taken a few organizations I've run where we had to go through it. It was expensive and it was hard. How many ISOs are there now? There's ISO for risk. There's ISO for lab. There's ISO for processes. There's ISO for asset management. There's ISO 55000. There's all these ISOs. And what's happening is it is breaking apart into risk best practices and maintenance best practices and asset management best practices. So I think none of them all fit under one umbrella other than reliability, because reliability affects risk. It affects asset management. It affects maintenance. So the reason is it's just a natural centralizing of a lot of different things, or else we're going to have everybody confused about who comes first, risk management or asset management. I mean, you talk to different organizations and you get, no, it's asset management. Ask the risk people. They'll say, no, it's risk. You know what it should be? Reliability, which affects risk and asset management.
Yeah, it deals with all of them.
Right.
Excellent. Now, why do we need someone at that level? You mentioned the coordination piece to kind of centralize it. But what other benefits will we really get when we have someone at that level within the organization?
You know, this, and I take the term from ISO 55000, it's a line of sight that you see all of your productive assets, and even including your IP, all of your significant assets from the C level, the line of sight, down to the tech on the floor. And that line of sight I hear over and over again is the C-level, so the CEO. Now, is the CEO responsible for that? Of course not. Is it the COO? I don't think so. There is nobody at the C-level that can say, I've got line of sight from top to bottom of all of our productive assets.
Yep.
That would be the chief reliability officer. Now, they may call him the chief asset management officer, but that's too many words. Chief reliability is a really great word.
Yeah. It's short, it's simple, it's concise, right?
It's short, yes. CRO. Don't you love that? Rolls off your tongue. CRO.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, CAMO, it doesn't really have the same fling to it, so.
That's right. Yeah.
So, if we had one of those CROs in place,
yeah.
What do you think would be different at the technician level, aside from the line of sight? Maybe they understand where we're going from a reliability standpoint, but what else would be different at the floor level of the organization?
It's the difference between the project of the year, the nice shiny new things that corporate pushes down to us, and we have alignment. We have alignment from the top down. Our assets and the maintenance and the reliability of our assets is so important to this organization that there's somebody reporting at the board level, at the chief level. I think that's the biggest thing. It takes a whole bunch of disparate things that come in, and the risk guy wants to do this and the asset management people want to do that, and it lines it up under one thing at the C level. And it does change. I mean, I've been a CEO, and I understand that the C level of the people I depend upon to give me information. And I don't want a lot of them. I want it to be very, very clear as to what they're representative of. Last thing I want is the risk guy running it, or the asset management guy, or the maintenance guy. I want somebody that can speak to me in a voice that says, are you looking at our productive assets? Because that's really what we're talking about, is the productivity of assets, when we replace them, when we repair them, when we maintain them. And I have a new mantra. I visited with Todd, the gentleman from OSHA. We were there, and I saw this happen. I gave him the statistics that 10 times more maintenance people are killed on the job than our police and firemen combined. That was 2017. His own numbers, OSHA. He sat up at the table and said, say that again? And I said, 10 times more people die fixing things that are broken and going out and working in productive areas. And by the way, they didn't sign up for that. A fireman, a policeman signed up for it. A maintenance tech did not. We need to be serious about this. It's a safety issue. Now, when you say to anybody at any company, who's responsible for safety? The answer is everybody.
Yes.
You say, who's responsible for reliability? Oh, they are.
Maintenance.
Maintenance. We got to change that.
Yep, absolutely.
So I have a new mantra. A reliable plant is a safe plant.
Yes, and I think Ron Moore actually did a study on that exact thing, the correlation between reliability and safety. And the deck's widely available because he did it as a keynote a couple years ago for SMRP.
Okay.
And it shows the impact that reliability has on safety figures.
Okay.
And how an increase in OEE or availability, you see it, you see a downtrend in OSHA recordables.
I love that. That was Ron Moore.
Yes.
All right, send me the link.
I will.
I love that.
So it definitely talks about the safety piece. It talks about environmental incidents as well. More reliable plant, you have less environmental incidents. You have better quality because you have consistent outputs from machinery. He talks about all those as a basis of reliability.
Okay, James, that's why I want a chief reliability officer, because everything that you just said affects a lot of different things in an organization.
Perfect.
Excellent.
And I think the one other thing a CRO would bring is, you know, right now you're trying to get engineering to work with maintenance ahead of time for design for maintainability. Yeah. You're trying to make sure we consider what's our production requirements now, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, even 10, 20 years and down the road. So how do we build and manage our life cycle costs properly?
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge undertaking because now you got to get procurement to look at life cycle costs, not just the upfront purchase cost. You got to get engineering to design for it. You got to get risk involved. You got safety. I think having a CRO would pull all those different groups together under one central person.
Now, wait a minute. Are you convincing me or am I convincing you? Because I'm convinced from what you just said. That's really good. You're exactly right.
I think that's where we need to go because a lot of organizations try to implement asset management.
Yeah.
And they put a guy from maintenance or a guy from engineering and they're in charge of it. Well, that's only one small part of it.
No, I agree. Walking by us right now is one of the masters of reliability. That is a chief reliability officer, Kenny from Westar.
Well, we'll have to get him on to talk about this then.
You do need to get Kenny on here because he's got it. He understands it.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
So during your presentation, you refer to an acronym.
Yeah.
AVERT. What is it and how does it help organizations?
My past before I was the vice president of reliability, made up title and made up job, I basically did company turnarounds. Turnarounds are change. You got to bring about change. And I just used the AVERT, and it was just the people trying to bring about change as the flavor of the month. And boy, it's so hard. And if you go to a company and say, hey, we're going to change something, most of the time you get pushback. So the idea that you would, you know, make people aware of the change. Now, that sounds easy. You don't announce it from the rooftop. You start at the top and you make your leadership team very clear of why we're doing the change. So the second step is, what's the value of changing? You know, should we value the change? You get down to one of the components I had in there was a risk. What's the risk of not changing? I think I'm going to change that to what's the reliability function of change and have risk be a subset of it. And then it's just a matter of you've got to implement the change. So if you do all the stuff up front, and I do think that's where a CRO is going to come in there. I think if the CRO comes in and we make people aware of why we're doing it, you just gave a perfect example of why. You're going to get a leadership alignment that says, yeah, you know what? We have too many voices and we're all trying to listen. And the guy on the shop floor doesn't know who to listen to. So he tunes most of us out.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to tune the reliability guy out. So AVERT is just a way that I use to bring it about. Excellent. It's a tool.
Excellent. Now, I think we covered what the value of a CRO would be.
Right.
What prevents organizations from actually doing it?
Really, it's silos. When you build up silos and you have, and that's changing too. That's why I'm saying it should be at the executive level, the chief level. When you build up silos and everybody's doing a good thing, what they think is a good thing. But if you go to war and you got 10 guys doing a good thing, but they're not aligned with doing the right thing, and sometimes somebody has to step back so that somebody else can move forward. And it is. I mean, you've just got to align everything. And there is not alignment unless you do the whole CRO focus. So I think to answer your question is, we're going to see such synergy, just like we've seen here at SMRP. We've seen huge synergy when we put more of an emphasis on reliability and less on maintenance. We've just seen like it's a magnet that's now attracting all these little things to align. And I think that's what this is going to do. It's going to attract a lot of people. People necessarily want to do a good job, and they want to do it the easiest way they can. I think the thing that's going to be the biggest barrier is, yeah, but I want to lead it. So we should define what a CRO looks like. And the first thing a CRO is, a proven change agent. They need to know how to change a culture.
I think that is vitally important, because shifting that whole organization, when you consider asset management, that holistic approach, that is not a simple task.
No.
Changing the culture of an organization is, you need experience, you need expertise. You can leverage the domain expertise for specific risk standards and that through your team.
Right.
But you need that leadership that can create that vision, that can create that culture change. I definitely agree that is a key component of it.
Here's a barrier too that I think, if you think about most companies, there are two ways that we keep score. One of them is the P&L.
Yep.
So our financial statements, the P&L say it. Another one is the balance sheet. Now under that are, you know, cash flows and all that stuff. But think of the P&L and balance sheet. The only person that really that is responsible for all of those are at the C level. They are responsible for both of them.
Yep.
We don't have anybody in maintenance and reliability at the C level, so we tend to fall under the P&L. But wait a minute, we spend a lot of money on assets, so we are on the balance sheet, right?
Yep.
Life cycle, all of that.
Yep.
We cross over both already. It's a natural thing to say, look, we're responsible for the financial integrity of the organization. Now, that's going to get people's attention. You tell a shareholder, hey, we have a role at the chief level that's going to be about your financial integrity. There isn't a shareholder alive that doesn't go, oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
And if it's people moving towards the sustainable, because now you've got shareholders, you're saying it's more than just my share value. It's all, you know, are we hurting the environment or growing the environment? Are we helping people, hurting people?
Yep.
You also say, by the way, reliability, you just shared, Ron Moore shared, it affects the environment. No matter which way you look at it, a chief reliability officer answers all of those.
Yes, absolutely. So with that, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation on a CRO?
I think it's the language that we use. Everybody's trying to do their own language. There are, I think, 10 CMMSs here. 10. And they all have their special thing. And we do. Yep. We're in the electric power reliability world, right? We have our own language and our own way of doing it. We need to make common language, because they can use that language against us. It's happening here at SMRP. We are significantly more reliability focused, but we need not to have a whole bunch of condition-based monitoring things that don't speak to each other, asset systems that don't speak to each other, or else we will be divided and we will be conquered. I think we need to demand, and I mean demand, we need to say, if your machine doesn't speak to our overall CMMS, or if your CMS doesn't take in other people's data, if you think you've got all the answers, think again, because even Maximo doesn't have all the answers. None of the big boys do.
Nope.
Think again, because if we do this together and we begin to speak the same language, and I do mean that digitally, I do mean that in a lot of ways, they're going to beat a path to our door, because that's what the C-level is talking about right now. Hey, I want things that speak the same language. You've given me all this software that doesn't even talk to each other. Stop doing unique, siloed systems.
Yep.
We hear that over and over again in the data management IT world. It's also cybersecurity. It's a heck of a lot harder to make something secure when you got 10 different systems that don't even talk to each other.
Yes. Yeah, I believe once upon a time I was looking, and there is an organization that's sole focus is to create that open exchange of maintenance data and reliability data, MMIOSA or something like that. I'll have to find the link. But that was what they're focused on. I haven't looked at them in 5-10 years now. So I don't know if they still even exist, but they at one point were working on that.
Yeah.
Making sure we have open architecture to exchange reliability data, maintenance data. I know SAP was heavily involved with them once upon a time. I don't know if they still are.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something to go back and look at them.
Again, the link. You're the link sharer here.
I will make sure to put links to everything I mentioned in the show notes as well. So, well, Alan, I want to thank you for coming on and talk about what is a CRO and is it time for a CRO. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, more about SD Myers? Where are you guys going to be at? What activities are you doing?
Two things. Alan.Ross, A-L-A-N, the good Scottish spelling. I was born in Edinburgh, so I'll give you this in my Scottish brogue. Alan.Ross at sdmyers.com. That's S-D-M-Y-E-R. And it's about anything. It's not just about what we do. One of the gifts that my boss has given me is the freedom to just support a lot of things. We have sponsored, you were going to ask about this and we're going to run out of time, but we've sponsored the Electric Power Reliability Summit. We did the first one last year. This year, next year, we're going to be doing it in September. And it's hosted by the University of Texas at Austin's Electromechanical Research Center, Dr. Bob Hebner. We bring in, I'm practicing what I preach. We're bringing in breaker people and cable people and transformer people and labs and ultrasound and all the things that we're not. And we're bringing all of us together in the room. And it was amazing. The first one was amazing. I mean, I worked hard, but it was amazing. And the next one is in Austin. And what we're trying to do is practice what we preach, bring everybody together and say, for electrical systems, because we know they're failing, we started off talking about that, but for electrical systems, let's all speak the same language and let's have people then, our customers, all of our customers, force us to make it simple for them to have a reliable system. So EPRS, and I think it's powersummit.org.
Powersummit.org, okay. I'll make sure to put links into that in the show notes as well.
Sure.
One last question before we go. Is there any resources you want to share that could help people learn about CRO, electrical reliability, transformer reliability, anything that you want to plug people into?
Yeah, we do. Right now we're doing it. Actually, we've put all of our different papers, and there's an article coming out. But if you contact me, I can get I have a lady, and it's Rachel.Linke, L-I-N-K-E, at SD Myers. She has everything that we've ever written, and not just me. And we've started to gather these into an electric power reliability resource center. So that as,
excellent,
you know, we've got all the presentations from last year's, from the breaker people, the cable. I got so scared about cable reliability, I knew nothing about it until we brought cable experts, and they let me, I walked away going, fix your cables. You know, and I'm the transformer guy yelling, fix your cables, because they're older and they're failing. And guess what we did? We built buildings over them.
Yes.
You know, and we had one failure. I got to tell you this story. They just could not figure out why they kept having a major hospital. Okay. I'm not allowed to say the name. A major, one of the top 10 hospitals, kept having failures. When they finally dug up the cable, it had been spliced 5 different times, and every splice was failing. So the power failure was hitting all of their x-ray machines, their computers, and everything. So the glitches came from water trees in 5 different splices. It had been spliced over, they didn't even have records of the splice. So it's not just transformers.
Excellent. And you shared with me prior too, you're also a podcast host.
Yeah, we have a podcast called Transformer Reliability. Same thing. You can, I don't know where they, I just do these things, right? you have the technology behind you, but the technologist there. We do have it on sdmyers.com. You can click on the link. And we have some amazing interviews with people about their very specific electric power reliability journey. So it's people, practitioners. It's also suppliers to the industry. We started it. We probably have 10 of them, and we have 11 more books.
Excellent.
But it's my part-time job, so.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
So being an electrician by trade, that's what I did. Journeyman from Canada, electrician.
Where in Canada?
Windsor, Ontario.
Okay. I grew up in Toronto.
Just down the road.
That's where I played hockey.
So, but being a journeyman electrician, they never talk about electrical maintenance or electrical reliability.
No.
So I am definitely going to have to check out this podcast and learn some more.
Okay, good.
About that, so.
James, thank you. This has been great.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.